Hi guys, another short episode here as we look at some players who are undervalued and overvalued on the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast, as well as doing a quick fantasy check-in on three teams, the Dallas Mavericks, the Denver Nuggets, and the Detroit Pistons. Let's get to it. Hi guys, Josh Lloyd here. We're going to be looking at some over and undervalued players in fantasy basketball, looking at their performances over the last couple of weeks and seeing which guys might be perhaps sell high or buy low type players in this little Locked On Fantasy Basketball show. Some players who are currently underperforming. We're looking at a couple of point guards there, the number 62 ranked player and 68th ranked player over the last 2 weeks, Kemba Walker and Kyle Lowry, both really underperforming, especially what they were doing at the start of the season, but also underperforming what I think they'll do for the rest of the year. Lowry in particular, only 8 points per game on 29% shooting, while Kemba has dropped down to 19 points per game on 38% shooting. Both guys are struggling with their shooting. Kemba also struggling with his free throws at only 73%, including 21% from three, while Lowry's at 25% from three. The assists are still coming from Kyle, over 8 per game. Walker's getting 2 steals. It's really just coming down to a reduction in that shooting, although Kyle Lowry's usage is really, really rock bottom as well, under 17% usage over the last 6 games, and you have to think that that back injury is still impacting him. I think both of these guys are pretty significant buy lows, especially Lowry, because people really viscerally react to him having a 0-point game, so you'll be able to get him at, I think, pretty considerable value, any sort of back-end type of guy. I wouldn't be going with the worst player on your roster, but I definitely wouldn't be throwing a top 50 player at whoever has Kyle Lowry. I'd be looking to acquire him. I'd throw someone like Derrick Rose, see how that goes. I'd throw Jeff Teague, see how that goes for Lowry, because he will turn it around. He won't continue to shoot 25% from three, nor will Walker shoot 21% from three either. Another point guard who's struggling at the moment, Chris Paul, the 78th ranked player over the last 2 weeks, averaging just 13 points. And like those other guys, his efficiency is well down. 39 from the field, 73 from the line, and 27% from three-point land. Paul is still getting you 8.6 assists. He's still getting you 1.4 steals. People do have worries with Chris Paul, rightfully so, with injury history and how long he's going to be playing and whether this is the real drop-off for Paul this season. But we've seen a couple of slides in his shooting to begin the season. When he had that elbow issue, he came back, the efficiency was fine, and now it's dropped off again. Much like Lowry, I'd be throwing a real low type of asset for him, especially if the person who has Chris Paul is someone who does get overly concerned about potential injuries and writes players off as injury prone and all that sort of a thing. Ravishing Rick Rubio would be someone that I'd be throwing to try and get Chris Paul. And I offer other point guards here as trades, because if you're offering a center for a point guard, it's not a matter of what's the best overall value. It's about how does this change my team, because I'm trading assists, I'm trading blocks to get assists, field goal percentage for free throw percentage, and it just completely changes the team. So overall value is really a pile of shit when we're talking about fantasy basketball. So that's why I'm offering other point guards who provide similar type numbers, although Derrick Rose, of course, is not a high assist guy. Joel Embiid also struggling a little bit, the 82nd ranked player over the last 2 weeks, 18 and 12.5 with 3.5 assists, but again, it's the shooting. 38% from the field and 69% from the line, including a woeful 13% from three. The Jimmy Butler factor is an issue, but he's still got 29% usage during this time. It's more that the shooting is just way off. We're talking 8, 9 percentage points off his field goals, 10, 11 percentage points off his free throw percentage. Numbers which would bump him back to that 23 or 24 point mark. Again, like Chris Paul, you can use Embiid's injury history as a way to really buy low on him. And I've seen some trades go down in some leagues where they are getting Embiid at a significantly discounted price. I believe one of the trades I saw was someone getting Embiid for the price of LaMarcus Aldridge. So you can do that, and this is the perfect time. With the uncertainty with Butler and how he's fitting in, the good news that Butler's injury doesn't appear severe, so he's not going to miss too much time, and the fact that Embiid is slumping at the moment, a really good opportunity to try and get him onto your team. Luka Doncic is another guy who's undervalued, I think, or underperforming a bit at the moment, especially in regard to fantasy rank. We know that everybody's really Dutch ruddering him in terms of his performances on the court, but over the last 6 games, he's shooting 33.8% from the field and only 28% from three, and that pushes him to be the 99th ranked player over the last 2 weeks. Only 14 points per game with 7 rebounds and 4 assists, and people are very, very immune in fantasy basketball. Well, not immune. they're very susceptible to overreacting to poor field goal. Oh my God, he's shooting terribly. He's killing my team. I have to get rid of him. That is the thought process you hear happening all the time, or I see it happening all the time, and I try and relay it to you guys. So when someone goes in a slump, man, he killed my field goal percentage. Also, one of the reasons why I just punt the shit out of field goal percentage every year, so I don't go through these ups and downs with that category. But you know, when someone's having these slumps, that's when you attack. I'm not sure his fat ass body is going to be able to sustain an NBA schedule. Rookie wall. He's falling off. Teams are figuring him out. These are thoughts that people will have about Luka Doncic when in essence, he's just going through a cold streak with his shot. So you can try and acquire him. I think he's a top 50 guy for the rest of the season and he is barely a top 100 player at the moment. So go ahead and see if you can get him at a decent deal. Another guy, the same, Jaren Jackson Jr., who has been inexplicably limited by Memphis, only 24 minutes per night. Some of that's his fault. Some of that's also JB Bickerstaff. 13-4 with one steal and one block. Actually, under one steal and one block. And that's really where the value has disappeared from. Still 49 from the field and 95 from the line. It's the fact that the blocks have dried up and the minutes have dried up. The foul trouble is an issue for Jackson, but yeah, it's, again, I get people mentioning or tweeting to me, oh, nah, Jermichael Green's a much better player, much more solid defensively. He has to earn the minutes. Cool. He's earned them by being the best player on this team outside of Gasol and Conley, but that's irrespective to the point. So, much like Doncic, Jackson is a top 50 player this season, in my opinion, and I'd be trying to acquire if anyone drops him, and people are dropping him, I guarantee you. Check your waiver wire. There will be people listening to this podcast where Jackson's on their wire. You add him, but he is a real buy low at the moment, and I think that he will get it figured out pretty quickly. Another victim of the my field goal percentage is killing me crew is Joshy Richardson, shooting 29% from the field over the last six games. He's still playing 35 minutes per night, four assists with 1.7 steals. And the other thing that's hurting him are the lack of blocks. One of the things that really elevated him to a top 50 player, I'd be buying very, very low on Richardson. His managers are frustrated with his production, no doubt about that. So go over and try and acquire him. Get him for, really, at this point, when people are considering dropping him and people are doing, and again, I'm going to do a whole show on trading at some point. People are trying to get rid of him for anything. Do it. Go and get Josh Richardson because his field goal percentage is hurting teams. Johnny Wall as the 143rd ranked player. This doesn't even include the fact that he's dealing with these heel issues. Of course, this rank is impacted by that 1 point game he had, but he's also shooting just 68% from the line over those last five, averaging 15, 3.5, and 9 points. I'm not all that worried about Wall moving forward. I'd happily be acquiring him in any sort of a league, assuming I can get him for outside the top 50 type of value. The free throws are a concern because it's been two seasons of subpar shooting from the line in a row from Wall. And the injuries are also a worry, but that just makes him a really good value proposition at this point. Chrissy Middleton, the last undervalued player at the moment, the 219th ranked player over the last couple of weeks. Just five games, but only 28 minutes. Of course, some of that was fueled by that game against the Knicks where he played only 19 minutes. And shockingly, 33% from the field, 63% from the line. This is the common denominator behind guys who have struggling times as their percentages drop. Now, Middleton's a high 80s percentage free throw guy. He's a high efficiency field goal guy. These are all way off at the moment. If they bump back up, if his minutes come back up where he doesn't get benched by his coach in a second half of a game, then everything is back to being normal. It's just been a tough stretch for Middleton. So again, he is a strong buy low candidate. On the flip side, you've got the sell high guys. De'Aaron Fox is the 10th ranked player over the last 2 weeks, averaging 20 with 7.5 assists and 2.5 steals and 0.8 blocks, shooting 53% from three and 49% from the field. No one is denying that De'Aaron Fox has improved his shooting because he clearly has. He is also not a 53% shooter. He's from three. He's also not a guy who gets 2.5 steals, and the 0.8 blocks have a real chance of dipping as well. Now, I think Fox is obviously a solid top 100 player, but I think it was either last week or the week before that we were talking about him as being outside the top 100 because he'd gone through a bit of a slump, and that's what's going to happen with guys like this. He's going to normalize in that maybe 40 to 60 type of zone, but not as a top 10 player. Malcolm Brogdon at 28, he's picked up some of the Chris Middleton slack. He is on fire, shooting 58% from the field and 59% from three over the last six games. 18, 5, and 3.5. He's efficient. He's not that efficient. So that's going to drop, and that's going to take him back to the 80s or 90s. So if people are souring on Middleton, if they think Brogdon's taking that role, if they're enamored by high percentages, which won't stick, Brogdon is a guy that you look to move on from. Another guy who's also benefiting from the fact that someone is injured, and that's Darren Collison, the 32nd ranked player. 11.5 points, 4.5 rebounds, 8.7 assists in 32 minutes with 2 steals. But Victor Oladipo is on track to return probably this week, and that means that Collison is going to be hurt in at least the next couple of weeks. Now, he might maintain 30 minutes a night going forward, and it does appear that Nate McMillan has realized that Corey Joseph's not that good and has limited his playing time. But go back and look at what Collison was doing with Oladipo and without Oladipo. The minutes are up, the assists are up, the ball handling's up, the usage is up. All that stuff is really in his favor, and his value is about to tank pretty considerably, in my opinion. Jaylen Brown, the 35th ranked player, only played 3 games, and 2 of those are on nonsense-type shooting nights, and the other one came when Kyrie, Haywood, and Horford were all resting. So his rank is significantly inflated. If there is any Celtics fans in your league and you've got Jaylen, you attempt to do this. Man, he's turned the corner. They might not realize that he shot 70% in 2 of those games and then had a game with no one else involved in it. He's got a true shooting of 71% over these 3 games, averaging 21.5 with 2.5. The assists are high for him. The rebounds are high, 0.7 steals and 0.7 threes. 0.3 blocks. I don't know why I said 0.7 threes. 0.3 blocks is in numbers which are more in line with what he does, and also 82 from the line is high. I think this is a great sell-high moment if you're able to execute it. The future MVP, Kyle Kuzma, averaging 21.5 and 8. We could really improve stuff from Kuzma lately, 51% from the field. The lack of defense is still there, and when Ingram and Rondo return, I think he's going to A, lose minutes. He won't play 35 a night. He will also lose touches. The usage will drop from 23%, would be my guess, and that's going to impact his overall value. He still will likely be a 12-team league guy, but as a top 40 guy, I'm not so sure. Next up, we look at the Chief, Al-Farouq Aminu, who is the 45th ranked player over the last 2 weeks. We know that he is sometimes maybe good. He's also sometimes maybe shit. But at the moment, over the last 6 games, he's shooting 67% from the field. If you know anything about Al-Farouq Aminu, you know that he is a terrible shooter. He has shot under 40% as a power forward from the field for 2 consecutive seasons. He's not a 67% shooter. He gets you steals. The rebounds are nice. He's not this guy. And he's a real borderline 12-team league guy, not a borderline top 50 player. The Undertaker, Dwayne Dedman, is the 49th ranked player. That's on the back of insane steal numbers, 2.7 per game. Now, the blocks can come up. The field goal percentage can come up, but the steals won't maintain. I doubt you'd be able to trade him for any sort of top 70 value, but it'd be worth inquiring because dumb shit goes down in leagues all the time. Bam Bam Adebayo at number 53, also riding the wave of Whiteside's absence. Now, people are quick to piss on Hassan Whiteside, and I'm one of them. I don't think he's that good of a player. I think he's not a great bloke and a real locker room issue. But people just think that because Bam is now starting with Whiteside out for the birth of his child, that Whiteside's just going to be excised from the rotation, or he's definitely getting traded and they're just going to play Bam 30 minutes a night. There is a possibility of that happening. There's no doubt about that. I don't think it's going to be the case. I don't think Hassan's going to come back. Oh, welcome back, guys. I'm back. Just had my kid. Cool. You're not playing anymore. That's not going to happen. I feel pretty confident in saying that, and that means that Bam's going to go and play 25 minutes some nights when Whiteside sits fourth quarters, or there are going to be nights that he plays 17 minutes. One thing I feel pretty confident with is he's not going to remain a top 55 player for the rest of the season. And the last guy is Marcus Morris, who's the 56th ranked player, averaging 17 points, but his true shooting is 67%. That is very, very high. 94% from the line, 50% from the field. This is a guy whose efficiency has never been at this level. He's going to lose some usage. You've had guys in and out of lineups. Horford's missed a couple of games. Haywood and Irving have missed games that have really spiked what Morris is doing. He is fine for 12-team formats. He's not this good, though. So again, check out your Celtics fans. Try and avoid your Suns fans when trying to trade away Marcus Morris. But not a guy that I think is going to be able to maintain this level of production. Fantasy check-in time for the Dallas Mavericks. Dennis Smith Jr. has only played 4 games over the last couple of weeks, but it's been an impressive couple of games from him, averaging 5.5 assists with 1.8 steals. He is still dealing with that wrist injury, but if he is on my waiver wire, I would add Smith. The efficiency looks a little bit better. Still playing 31 minutes a night in those games as well. I'd absolutely be having a look at him and grabbing him off wires if he was available. DeAndre Jordan's free throws, they've dipped a little bit, just under 70%, but that's still obviously a significant improvement on where he's been. But the guy who I guess is really impressive at the moment is Jalen Brunson, the burner. He's played the last 2 games starting in place of Dennis Smith Jr. Now, I'm not sure if he's going to be able to find a regular rotation role. He'd have to either supplant JJ Barea or Devin Harris. I can see Harris potentially, but Carlisle loves him in that bench unit. Brunson's showing enough here that for dynasty leagues, if Smith misses more time, that you're going to consider him as a potential option. I think he looks to be a Barea replacement at some point down the line. Harrison Barnes is playing 32 minutes a night over the last couple of weeks, averaging 19 points, but still outside the top 125. I don't believe he's a must-roster 10-team league guy. He probably should be rostered, but this is more what we should expect for Barnes for the rest of the season. While Wes Matthews is in a little bit of a slump, only shooting 68% from the line, that will improve. I think he can have borderline 12-team league value as well, so I'd consider adding him off the wire if he was available. Fantasy check-in for the Denver Nuggets, who are hit by all sorts of injuries. Paul Millsap out for the next 4 to 6 weeks. We saw Trey Lyles start one of those games. We saw Mason Plumlee start one of those games. It's going to be hard to determine which one of these players is going to have the most value because Dr. Michael Malone is going to chop and change with that starting lineup. The guy that I would be looking to add, though, is Juancho Hernangómez, who is starting for Will Barton. Barton still doesn't know when he's going to be returning, but even when Barton returns, I can see Juancho pushing up to the power forward position more. He's averaging 12.5 points with 7 rebounds, a block on 54 and 73% shooting, hitting 2 triples, and he's a top 100 player over the last 2 weeks. He's a must-roster 12-team league guy. And then it depends. Do you want scoring? Then you could take a flyer on Trey Lyles. Do you want defensive-type numbers? Mason Plumlee will give you rebounds, he'll give you steals, he'll give you blocks, and good field goal percentage. So it really does come down to what your team's looking for. Neither guy, I think, is going to be consistent. I don't think their roles are going to be consistent. So it's going to be ups and downs there all across the board. Monty Morris, another interesting player, averaging 4 assists per game over the last 7. That can be really valuable in fantasy leagues. A fantastic performance from him on Monday. Of course, when Barton returns, it is going to impact Morris, and I hate to see what's going to happen when Isaiah Thomas gets back, but Morris has that nice 14-team league value at this point. And the other guy we have to talk about is Jamal Murray, who is struggling, 39% shooting, 29% from 3 over the last 7 games, dealing with some shin issues. Hold tight, buy low. He will be better than this. We know he has these cold streaks, but no need to overly panic with the Blue Arrow Jamal Murray. Fantasy check-in for the Detroit Pistons now. Blake Griffin rested last game. He's been putting up solid numbers. But Andre Drummond, it's a real issue with his free throws now. 47.7% over the last 8 games. That takes him very squarely into punt territory or must-punt territory or can't avoid punting territory. And the other thing that's hurting him as the 101st ranked player over the last 2 weeks is he's shooting just 46% from the field. So they are real concerns with what Drummond is doing. Luke Kennard had a breakout last game. Glenn Robinson is injured with that ankle injury. We don't know how long that's going to keep him out, but Kennard clearly outplayed Robinson, who's been terrible all season. He's a name to watch, I think, Kennard, in 14-team leagues. Actually, he's a guy to potentially add in 14-team leagues, definitely add in 16, maybe add in 14, and watch in 12-team formats. We know that Reggie Bullock and Ish Smith are also out, and Stanley Johnson, so there's a lot of guys to come back there in the guard and wing positions, which could impact Kennard, but you could make the argument that Kennard is better than all those guys, and in fact, I think he's got the significantly highest potential out of that group of guys. Stan Johnson's been playing a better sort of a game. It's not really translating into great fantasy value, and he is dealing with that injury. He's no one we can really rely upon. While Langston Galloway is getting a lot of minutes, I have no idea. He's played 26 minutes a game over the last 8 games and averaged 8 points on 33% shooting. He just isn't very good, and you should be looking at deeper leagues only. And realistically, he probably shouldn't even be in the rotation for this Pistons team when everyone gets healthy, but we're a fair way away from these guys actually getting healthy. Unfortunately, for those guys, they could all be back soon, but Ish looks like he's going to be out for a little bit of a while.